Psalm 117. You notice there's no title to the psalm. We're not sure who wrote it. We don't know about the occasion, any of that. But we just know it's part of the inspired Word of God. And so let's read it together. Everybody ready? Let's read. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever, ever. Praise ye the Lord. Let's do it again, all right? Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Psalm 117. It's one of six consecutive Hallel Psalms. The word Hallel means praise. And there are other Hallel Psalms, but there are six that are just one right after another. And they are Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. And, of course, here we are looking at one of them this afternoon. Now, they are a collection of songs that were sung at the great festivals of Israel, but also on other holy days as well. They weren't necessarily restricted to those days, but they were sung especially on those days. For instance, at Passover, Psalm 113 to 114 would be sung before the Passover meal, and Psalm 115 to 118 would be sung after the meal. That's normally how they would have done it in their Passover celebration. Now, Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible, if you consider the Psalms chapters, and we normally refer to them as chapters. If you want to get real technical, I've mentioned this before, the Psalms are Psalms, not really chapters. But we refer to them as chapters. And so it is the shortest chapter in the Bible. It consists of only two verses and only 32 English words. And in the Hebrew language from which it's translated, it is even shorter. It consists of only 17 words. So it's a very brief psalm, shortest chapter in the whole Bible. Charles Spurgeon wrote what I believe is the best set of commentaries on the Psalms that have ever been written. I've never run across anything better. I've discovered this, that whenever you're studying the Psalms, if you'll read what Spurgeon said, and then you'll start reading what others say, much of what they say is taken from Spurgeon. But the flip side is that Spurgeon, in writing those Psalms, his commentary, he not only gave his exposition, but he also quotes from a lot of other people as well. And so it runs both ways. But Spurgeon wrote in his introduction to this psalm, in that book, The Treasury of David, he said this, and I quote, "It is both short and sweet. The same divine spirit which expatiates in the 119th, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, here condenses his utterances into two short verses. But yet the same infinite fullness is present and perceptible." And that was part of his introductory remarks on this psalm. Now, something else interesting about this psalm is this. It's also the middle chapter in the Bible. The middle chapter. We know it's not the middle verses, but it is the middle chapter. The Bible contains 1,189 chapters. Psalm 117 is the 595th chapter. And that means there's 594 chapters before it and 594 chapters after it. And it is the middle chapter of the Bible. Psalm 117 in verse 1. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Is referred to in Romans 15 and verse 11. That's why I told you to find that. If we get that far tonight, we'll be looking at quite a bit more in Romans 15 and 11. But here's how it is referred to in Romans 15 and 11. And again, talking about again, it's written. Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. And, well, like I said, we'll look at that later on in our study. Now, I want you to note the name used of God throughout Psalm 117 is what? Oh, praise the what? Lord, capital L, small capitals O-R-D. All ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great. Toward us, and the truth of the Lord, same way it's spelled, endureth forever, praise ye the Lord. And so it's used three times, and we know, of course, that Lord is a translation of which name of God? Jehovah. And remember that every name of God reveals something about God. No one name could reveal everything about Him. But every name reveals something or emphasizes something special about God. And the name Jehovah, which is translated as capital L, small capitals O-R-D in our King James Bibles, it reveals God as being the self-existent and eternal One. Otherwise, He had no beginning, He has no end, He is not dependent on anyone for His existence. He just is the great I Am. And that is the emphasis that's given here in this psalm. Everyone and everything is completely dependent upon Him, but He is not dependent on any of us. He can do without any of us. Amen? A lot of times people think, what will God do without so-and-so? Well, He did all right from the beginning of creation until they died, amen. He did, or they backslid away. God's in control here. Now, the Lord, when I think about this, He is worthy of our praise because of who He is. Praise the Lord because of who He is. You look at Psalm 150, the last psalm, in this psalm, it is also talks a lot about praise in this last one of the psalms, Psalm 150, if I can find it right quick here. And in Psalm 150 and verse 6, the last verse of the psalms, He says this, let everything that hath what? Breath, praise the Lord, Jehovah, praise ye the Lord. So everything that hath breath should praise the Lord because of what we are. We are creations of Him. We praise Him because of who He is. He is the self-existent eternal God, the only self-existent eternal One. And we praise Him because of what we are. We are His creations. He has given us the breath that we breathe. Now, the word praise is used three times in Psalm 117. But there are two different Hebrew words that are translated as praise. The Hebrew word halal, which means to praise or to boast or to rage, etc. It's used at the beginning, at the end of the psalm. Praise the Lord at the beginning and at the end. Praise ye the Lord. But then you'll notice near the end of verse 1, it says, praise Him, all ye people. And the Hebrew word there is shabak, which means to address in a loud tone. And that's what's used near the end of that first verse. Now, the Greek word used for it. Remember Psalms Romans 15:11. All right, look back at that. Romans 15:11. Now, what you have a lot of times is in referring to the Old Testament passages, the New Testament interprets them for us. And in the Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, he says this. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Of course, this is English. And laud Him, all ye people. Well, the word that was translated from shabak in Hebrew into Greek is apaneo, which means to laud or praise the Lord. And thus the King James translators, in translating it out of the Greek, they said laud. And it's obvious there that the Lord is due more than half-hearted praise. The word laud, it indicates some enthusiasm about you, to speak loudly of what the Lord's done. And our praise of Him should be with what? Enthusiasm. It shouldn't just be half-hearted. Amen? It should be like this lady that Patricia was talking about. Boy, she was speaking out. Didn't care who heard her. Amen? We're to laud the Lord. That's the idea of that word praise there. There should be enthusiasm. Now, you think about the word enthusiasm. I love that word enthusiasm. If you trace the etymology of that word, you'd find this. It comes from two different Greek words. And it, as one is in, which means in, and the other is phallos, which means God. Enthusiasm comes from in God. And if anybody ought to have some enthusiasm, it ought to be those that are in God. Amen? And we are to laud the Lord. We are to praise Him with some enthusiasm. You know, we shouldn't come together and just, let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. You know, it doesn't sound like He did very much for you. There ought to be some excitement in our voice when we talk about
how good the Lord is. Amen? Now, praising the Lord should be the activity of everyone, everywhere. As you read commentaries on this, some of them will talk about that this is talking about how the people of Israel were to praise the Lord. But I want you to notice here, it says, praise ye the Lord, not Israel, not Hebrews, not Jews, but praise the Lord all what? All ye nations, and also all ye what? People. All ye nations and all ye people in verse 1. And so that tells us that the Lord Jehovah deserves to be praised by everyone. Not just the Hebrews, but also the Gentiles. Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Now, the word nations is a translation of the Hebrew goeh, which means foreign nations, otherwise someone other than the Jews. The Jew, some Jew was the one used to write this, may or may not have been David. But when this Hebrew, this Jew, is writing, he says, praise the Lord, all ye nations. That is, not just the nation that I'm a part of, but all the other nations of the world ought to praise the Lord. And of course, the Hebrew writer would have understood that to be the Gentiles, because, you know, the Lord sees nations as Jews and Gentiles. If you're not a part of the Jewish nation, then you're the Gentile, one of the Gentile nations. And it is true that the Lord had been especially good to the Hebrews, but the other nations also had plenty of cause to praise the Lord. Yeah, He had been good to the Hebrews. He had given them His law. He had given His word through them. The prophets were of the Jews and so forth there. Oh, He had been so good to them. They were His chosen people. He had been so good to them. But I want to tell you something. Though He was especially good to the Hebrews, all the other nations of the world have plenty to praise God for. Yeah, all of us do have plenty to praise God for. Now, that Christ died for the Gentiles as well as the Jews is the emphasis of Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Now remember, verse 11 of Romans chapter 5 quotes Psalm 117 and verse 1. But I want you to see something here. I think it's interesting. I hope it'll be worth your time for us to dig into this a little bit. But I want you to go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 11, where that Psalm 117 and verse 1 is quoted. Now, you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, and here's what the Bible says here. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this cause will I confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now, where is that written at? All right, well, let's look at Psalm 18. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And we look at Psalm 18, and we look at verse 49, and the Bible says this, Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. He's referring to this particular verse here, the heathen, the Gentiles. And also may very well have been referring to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And verse 50. 2 Samuel 22. And verse 50. It says, Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. All right, then you go back to Romans chapter 5. Yep. Romans 15, yes, yeah. Okay. Hey, yeah, I've got 5 there. Okay, yes, Romans 15. All right, thank you, Brother Huff. All right, Romans chapter 5. All right, or 15, I'm saying it again, okay? And I've got it again down there, Romans 5, and it should be Romans 15, okay? So make that correction there, all right? Look at Romans chapter 15, and look at verse 10. And it says, And again he saith, Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Where did he say that, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. And let's see here. Deuteronomy 32. And we look at verse 43. Deuteronomy 32:43. And there we read this, Deuteronomy 32:43, comparing it. He says, "Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people." All right? So you see he's referring there. All right, look at Psalm 15. Look at verse 11. Romans 15, verse 11. Okay? "And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." Now, we know where that comes from. That's Psalm 117, verse 1. Amen? Amen? And then we see here in Romans 15 and verse 12, "And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust." Where's that at? That's in the book of Isaiah, and chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Okay. Isaiah chapter 11. Let me see if I can find that right quick here. All right, Isaiah chapter 11, and we look at verse 10, and he says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall..." verse 11. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time..." I'm in chapter 12. No, 11 is right. Okay, chapter 11, verse 10. Let me get that, all right? "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." And so we see that here in Romans 5, in which he's emphasizing the fact that the Gentiles have got plenty to thank the Lord for, especially in this matter of salvation, he quotes from several Old Testament passages, one of which is part of Psalm 117. Now, Warren Wiersbe noted a pattern of progress in Romans 15. And notice again, that should be 15, not 5, all the way through. When you make one mistake, you just keep repeating it. Amen? And so Wiersbe said this. He said, you'll notice in Romans 5 and verse 9, it says, "There the Gentiles hear, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as is written, for this cause will I confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." They're hearing. And then he said, you'll notice in verse 10, the Gentiles are rejoicing with the Jews. And again he saith, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." That's the Jewish people. And then he says, you'll notice the Gentiles praise God on their own. Verse 11, and again, this is, again, "Praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people." That's from the Psalm that we are studying. And then he says, you'll notice that, let me switch my page here, that the Gentiles trust God and enjoy his reign in Romans 15 and verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." So there'll be a reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Wiersbe also noted, these verses summarize Israel's spiritual history. He said, you'll notice in verse 9, the Jews witness to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, for it is written, "For this cause I will confess thee to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." He said, that's the Jews witness to the Gentiles. That's why the Lord chose the Jewish people. They were the least of all people. He said, "I'm going to take it. I'm going to do things with you that's going to cause the world to stand up and take note. I'll bless you. And if you don't do right, I'll chastise you. Either way, the world's going to take note of you." And then in verse 10, he notes how the Jews and Gentiles shared in the church's witness. And again, he saith, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." And we know in the early church, it started primarily with Jews, but the Gentiles were involved in it. And then in verse 11, it says, "And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." He says the Gentiles were given the prominent place in God's program, and we as Gentiles do have the prominent place in God's program today. And then in verse 12, the future kingdom will be shared with the Gentiles. And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." And so, those are just some little interesting notes there that I thought you might find interesting, so I put them in there. Now, let's get back here to Psalm 117. "Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people." The word "people" is translation of the Hebrew umal, which means collections or communities. Now, I want you to notice this. "Praise ye the Lord, all ye nations, but praise him, all ye people." Within every nation, there exist communities of people. And God deserves to be praised by them all, and one day will be. He deserves to be praised by every nation. He deserves to be praised by the United States of America. But within the United States of America, there's all kinds of little communities. You know, we break up. It's just human nature. You break up into communities that you share things in common with. Well, you know what? Every community, doesn't matter what color it is, doesn't matter what the social standing is, what financial status you're in. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, red, yellow, black, white, you know, high class. Listen, every community ought to be praising God. Every community and every nation ought to be praising God. He deserves to be praised by everyone. And I want you to note that old archaic word, ye. They say you can't understand the King James Bible because it has all those thous and these and those ye's and stuff like that. But those things are make the Bible more precise. And that old archaic ye, which is used three times in Psalm 117, you look at it, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people. And the end of verse 2, praise ye the Lord. Ye is plural, indicates more than just the person being spoken to. Otherwise, everyone is to praise the Lord. If the psalmist had said, praise you the Lord, well, we wouldn't necessarily know. Oh, is it talking about just the person that is reading the psalm or that he speaks the psalm to? Or is it to everybody? But when he says ye, it means everybody in every nation. Everybody is to praise the Lord. Everybody is to praise the Lord. Now, the day's coming when everybody will. Let's look over at the book of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And look at some verses here. Revelation chapter 5. And look at verses 6 and following. Revelation 5. And here we have in Revelation chapter 5, we have a scene, a heavenly scene. You know, John's caught up into heaven and he sees things going on up there. And here's one of the things that he sees. In Revelation 5, 6, he sees things in heaven, but he also sees things that are going on in heaven while the tribulation is going on this earth. And he says this in verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Who do you think the lamb was? Capital L. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders, which we understand represents the saints, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood. Now notice this. Out of every what? Kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now notice, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation, people are praising the Lord in glory. All right, look at Revelation chapter 7. Look at verse 4. And he says this, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000, and the Jehovah's Witness would tell you that was Jehovah's Witnesses. That is not Jehovah's Witnesses. It is 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And so there'll be, you go on and you read through this and you'll see there's 12,000 out of each tribe, 12 times 12, 144,000 there. And they're involved in this. And then after he talks about the 12,000 out of each tribe, he gets down to verse 9 and he says, after this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Now get this, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now notice, it's out of every kindred, tongue, nation, and so forth there. And then we get over to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. And we look at verses 2 through 4. And the Bible says this, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. For thy judgments are made manifest." And after there, so notice, all the nations are going to come before the Lord and worship Him. And so we see that though all nations are to, and all people of all nations are to, should be doing that, the day will come when they will. Amen? The day will come when they will. Spurgeon wrote again of this psalm in his comments in the Treasure of David. He said, "This psalm, which is very little in its letter, is exceeding large in its spirit. For bursting beyond all bounds of grace or nationality, it calls upon all mankind to praise the name of the Lord." It's small, but it encompasses everybody, calling on everybody to praise the Lord God. Now, why should everyone everywhere praise the Lord? He gives us two specific reasons. Two specific reasons. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. Reason number one, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. So there it is. His merciful kindness is great towards us. Now, old Noah Webster, in that first dictionary, English dictionary in America, he defined kindness as that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. And then he said, kindness ever accompanies love. God is kind to us because He loves us. And it is His disposition to be kind to us. Now, so many times people think of God as being somebody that's sitting up there. His disposition is to just look for a reason to smack somebody with a lightning bolt or something. But that's not the disposition of God. That is the ability of God, and sometimes we force Him to do that. But His disposition is what? To be kind to us. Now, I got to thinking about the kindness of God and started doing a little bit of reference running on this matter of kindness. I want you to look at something. In we see here in verse 2, it says, talks of His kindness as being what? Merciful. And then you look over at Psalm 119, and you look at verse 76, and it says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant." And so there's a merciful kindness. And then you can look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And Psalm 31 in verse 21. Psalm 31 in verse 21. And notice what the Bible says here. "Blessed be the Lord, for He has showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city." So His kindness is merciful. His kindness is marvelous. And then I want you to see this one really. And there's others we could look at, but I just deliberately narrowed down these three. But I want you to look at a couple of verses here. Look first of all at Joel, okay? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, back there near the end of your Old Testament. Joel chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of what? Great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil." Great kindness. Now, this next one, Jonah, okay? Jonah chapter 4. Now, why is this one? I said, I've got to include this one right here. Here's the reason. Jonah was a Hebrew prophet. And God called him to go to Nineveh, Gentiles, and preach the gospel to Gentiles. And Jonah did not want to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He did not want the Gentiles to go to heaven. He didn't want them to. He would have been happy if the Gentiles had all gone to hell. It would have made him happy if all of the city of Nineveh had died and gone to hell. And so what does Jonah do? He runs from the call of God. And you know the story, of course, how that the Lord sends a storm. And leaving out a lot of details for the sake of time. But they throw Jonah overboard and the whale swallows him. And after 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the whale spits him out. And lo and behold, Jonah decides, I'm going to do what God told me to do. And he goes into the city preaching the warning of the judgment of God falling and hoping that the judgment of God was going to fall on them. Now, instead of the judgment of God falling on them, the city falls under conviction, repents of their sin, and they have a tremendous revival in that city. I mean, it swept through from the ghettos through the palace and right onto the livestock. And notice what happens whenever they have this revival. Old Jonah, he's upset about it. And Jonah 4 verse 1 it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a what? Gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of what? Great kindness and repentance of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He says, I want to die. He said, this is the reason I didn't want to come preach to these Gentiles, because I know, God, that you are a God of great kindness. Now you tie that to Psalm 117, where the psalmist is saying to the Gentiles, praise the Lord! You Gentiles, praise the Lord! All you heathen nation, Gentiles, praise the Lord! Well, why should we praise the Lord? I'll tell you what. Right here, God has great kindness towards us old Gentiles. And He proved it by using a prophet that did not even want the people to be saved. Proved it by forcing him to either go preach or die. And he preached and God saved that Gentile city. I tell you what, we've got something to praise God about. Amen? And you read about the early church there in Jerusalem, and you see all those Jews being saved. And lo and behold, Gentiles, they get here, word Gentiles being saved up in Antioch and other places. It caused a big stink among them. They couldn't hardly believe that. Praise God, God saves old Gentiles like me and you. Praise God, He does. So we got plenty to praise the Lord for because of His kindness. It is merciful kindness. Now, merciful kindness. There is a fine line, perhaps. Actually, they overlap, and I believe they do. This matter of mercy and grace. We talk a lot about the grace of God, and we talk about the mercy and grace of God. But there is a different emphasis in the two. The emphasis of grace is upon God doing for us or giving to us what we do not deserve. That's it. Doing for us, giving to us what we do not deserve. God in His grace has given me eternal life. I don't deserve that and you don't either. Nobody does. That's the grace of God. But the emphasis of mercy is upon God withholding from us what we do deserve. God in His grace has given me an eternal life and an eternal home in heaven with Him. God in His mercy is withholding me from going to hell, which I do deserve. God in His mercy is withholding me from going to hell. And listen, if I got what I deserved and you got what you deserved, that's where we'd be right now. Amen? That's where we'd all be right now. Now, the Lord, the Bible describes Him as having merciful kindness. And God in His merciful kindness withholds from us what we do deserve. Now, what do we deserve? As I already said, we deserve to be what? To be burning in hell. That's what we deserve. I know Brother Sonny, I picked it up from him. He asked Brother Sonny, how you doing? Brother Sonny said, better than I deserve. And I've noticed this, and I know Brother Duffy, he's mentioned this before. He says people come in his shop, and he's picked up and say, how you doing? And they say, better than I deserve. And Brother Ken Duffy said this. They'll look at it and say, oh, well, I'm so sorry. It's like you must be having it bad, you know, but you're getting it better. And so I've changed it up just a little bit. I'll put it this way. Someone say, how you doing? I say, better than anybody deserves. Better than anybody deserves. And they don't say, oh, I'm so sorry. They say, wow, man, you must be doing great. Huh? I was at Sam's Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday. I had to go out there for something. And this man, we almost bumped into each other, our carts. And we kind of laughed. And he said, how you doing? And I said, better than anybody deserves. He said, man, that's awesome. That's great. I said, yes, sirree. If I'm not burning in hell, I'm doing better than anybody deserves. Amen? That's all any of us deserve. So I want us to realize that God is good to us. Now, it matters not what you're going through. If you are not in hell, you're doing better than anybody deserves. I don't care what you're going through. And life is not easy. It's harder on some than on others. And it's harder on all at times than it is at other times in their lives. But I want to tell you something. None of us are getting what we deserve. None. That's the mercy of God. The merciful kindness of God. Now, you look back at your life, and you will see that the Lord, in His merciful kindness, restrained you from doing things that you desired to do and from being things that you desired to be. Now, why is that? Because there were things contrary to His will, and the Lord, in His grace, could not cause you to accomplish them. He could have, but it wouldn't have been gracious because it wasn't His will. But the Lord, He could have just permitted you to accomplish them, but in His merciful kindness, He deliberately did not. And I tell you, I got to thinking about this a few weeks ago. I was out working in the yard. And while I was working out there, I got to thinking about the things that God, in His mercy, kept me from getting and having and doing that I wanted to do. A lot of them were things whenever I was lost. I thought about, man, I remember one night I came home. It was about midnight. And I came home and I didn't want to worry my dad. He had heart trouble, and I stopped in. I ran up to the apartment. I had some other people in the car with me, and I said, "Daddy, I just want you to know I'm gonna be out sometime over in the morning." And I was thinking he'd say, "All right, thanks for telling me," but he didn't. He said, "No, you need to." Be. I said, "I got the car full of it." He said, "You need to take them home, and you need to get back here." I was so mad about that, but I tell you what, that was the Lord's merciful kindness. Because if I had gone out that night, I know I'd have gotten in a lot of trouble. That was God's merciful kindness. Amen. And I just look back at other things. Before I was saved and after I was saved, that God has kept me from doing that I want to do. I said, that's just the good mercy of God. That's the good mercy of God. Jobs that I wanted, things of that nature at times, by God in His mercy, withheld me from doing those things. Thank God for His mercy. Now, the Lord's merciful kindness is what? Look at verse 2. It is great toward us. Great toward us. Oh, Adam Clark, he wrote in his comments on this, that the Lord's merciful kindness, he said, it's great in bulk and great in power. Great in bulk. And I thought, well, why didn't you say great in number? And he did actually say great in bulk or number. I just put great in bulk. But I said, why didn't you say great in number? Then I got looking at it. It's not merciful kindness, is it? It's merciful kindness. It's just like all in one big bulk. Amen. You got a bulk of kindness, got all kinds of kindnesses in it. Like a big box of Whitman chocolate. Got all kinds of chocolates in it. Amen. And it's not only great in bulk, but it's great in power. Praise God for His merciful kindness. It is great towards us. So that's one reason that all of us old Gentiles have got to praise the Lord. Then, hey, looks like we're going to finish up Psalm 117. I don't know what I'll do next week. All right, we'll do something, okay? All right, but look at here. He says, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and there's another reason. Now, there's more than two reasons, but these are two right here that are more than sufficient to give us a reason to praise God as old Gentiles. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. That's the second reason to praise God. The truth of the Lord. The truth of the Lord is incarnate in God the Son. What did the Lord Jesus say in John 14:16? I am the way, the truth. The truth. He is the truth incarnate. And He's also the truth of God is the scripted Word of God, which we have here in our hands, in John 17:17, He says what? Thy Word is truth. And so we can praise the Lord because the incarnate truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the inscripted truth, the Word of God, they are forever. They are forever. And notice it says that it endureth. Now, someone says, well, look at that. That's in italics, and so that means there wasn't actually a Hebrew word that that was there that was directly translated. But I believe God guided these men in putting in those italicized words. And when He says unto us that the truth of the Lord endureth forever, you know what that indicates? It indicates the truth of the Lord will be opposed. They will try to destroy it. They will try to defile it. They will ridicule it. And yet, the truth of the Lord just goes on and on and on and on, does it not? On and on and on and on. Who was it? Voltaire, that boasted, you know, that that would be a matter of time before, you know, Christianity was obsolete and this, that, and the other. That atheist and blasphemer. And lo and behold, after he died, I understand that some Bible society bought his house and used it to store Bibles in. What a sense of humor God has. Amen? No, it goes on. And so I close with one of my favorite poems. I used to have it memorized, but I'm not trying to recite it now. Let me just read it. And it says this, last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring, the vesper chime. Now, how many know what an anvil is? All right, an anvil, yeah, all right. And then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. So there you've got the anvil. And there you've got the hammer. It's been beating and beating and beating on steam things, pounding on that anvil. And the old hammers are wearing out. They're breaking and so forth. And they're just laying around on the floor. All those old hammers have been beating on the anvil. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all those hammers so? Just one, said he. And then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought the anvil of God's Word, for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet, though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed. The hammer's gone. Hammer's plural. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of hammers beating on the Word of God today. Amen? They're not going to endure. But whenever they're all gone, this old book will still be here. This old book will still be here. And I tell you what, that thing right there to praise God for. Amen? I praise Him for His merciful kindness is great. I thank Him for that, but I praise Him also for His truth. And so, the psalm ends with what? Praise ye the Lord. Notice that plural ye. It's not just you and you over here and you over here. It's everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jews and Gentiles as well. We've got plenty to praise God for. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Let's stand.